And let's have a warm welcome to our speaker tonight, Zeke from the Candlelight Home Group in Norfolk.
Hi, I'm Zeke. I'm not Kyle. My sobriety date is June 25th, 2022. I have a home group, Candlelight, which meets on Friday nights in Norfolk. And I have a service position in that home group. And I've held one for the last 2 years that I've been a member there. I don't say all that to make myself seem like Mr. AA or I'm doing everything right. I just say that to identify myself as a member of this community of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'll get started. You know, in my early days, high school and middle school time frame, I never really felt like I belonged around anyone. I didn't really have a core group of friends. I would kind of migrate between friends groups, and I was never one of the popular kids either. But I just never felt like I belonged. I even remember when I was real young, like elementary school age, I thought that my life was like a TV show, and that it was secretly being recorded like the Truman Show, and I hadn't even seen that movie. Which, in retrospect, is pretty selfish, you know, thinking that the world secretly revolved around me. But I didn't actually start drinking until I actually turned 21, and I didn't drink too much, or I didn't feel like I drank too much at the time. I thought I drank like a normal person. That being said, the first time I ever got really drunk and to the point where I was hungover, I was given a ride home by the cops. And I was like, meh, I'm sure everybody has this happen to them the first time they drink. And I remember my mom was so upset because it was her birthday and the cops were knocking on her door at 1 a.m. saying, is this your son? And I was just there like, hey mom, happy birthday. And my mom was an alcoholic. She actually met my father in the program. So I like to say I'm the product of a 13th step gone wrong. They ended up getting divorced when I was a kid, and my dad stayed in the program. He was active in the oceanfront area while he was in town. My mom, she didn't really go to meetings, and she had her own issues after several years of being sober, but that's her story, not mine. So I feel like I drank like a normal person, and that, you know, I was able to get a house, I had a steady job, and I felt like I only needed to get drunk a couple nights a week, and that's what I did for years, until I got a new job where I was working a night shift at a bar, which allowed me to drink on the job, and I got off in time, usually, to make it to the bar next door, which didn't close till 2. And I was married at the time, and I was, as opposed to going home after getting off work, I said, oh, we're working late tonight, and I would just go across the street and pretty much do whatever I wanted. There were nights where I didn't come home at all. There were nights where I came home drunk, parked on the curb, and she knew what was going on. And then it didn't really get bad until I started really cheating on her. And she found out about that. And, I was upset because I felt, well, she had cheated on me and I felt like I was deserved to cheat on her, you know, it was an eye for an eye type of situation. And we sat down and talked after she found out about my situation, and we decided that we were going to make things work and try to work through it. And for me, that looked like well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you can, if you want to do more around the house, that'd be great. And that didn't work out too long. And I remember it was December 8th, 2017. We sat down in the morning, and she said, I want you to get out of here. She's like, we're done. There's nothing. We're done. And I left, and I went straight to the gym and to work off my frustrations. And that's where, about an hour into my workout, I got a call from my mom saying that there's been an accident and that we needed to go check on my dad. And but before we even got to the highway, the police, he lived in West Virginia, but the police called and said that he didn't make it. And he took his own life that day. And so there I was, just lost my wife, a relationship of 10 years, and my father just took his own life. And I only found one solution, and that was alcohol. And so every single night I went to the bar, every single night I was getting drunk, having to get carried home by my friends or whoever. And I didn't care about what anyone else needed or what anyone else wanted out of life. I just cared about getting drunk or whatever else I got into. And that lasted for a couple of years, well, about a year and a half. And then one night I was driving home, and your mind does tricks on you. I think I only had like two beers, probably three. And I fell asleep driving home, and I ended up crashing my truck into a mailbox. But not just a regular mailbox, it was one of those brick mailbox. So completely destroyed my car. Somehow I was able to drive away from the scene in the middle of the night, back to my mom's, which is where I was staying at the time, and parked my car, went to bed. And I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep and hope that this was just a dream. I think my car is gonna be fine when I wake up. This is just a dream. Everything will be all right. I wake up in the morning and I look out the window and my truck is destroyed. The whole front end is smashed. And I was like, well, I hope it starts. So I took a quick shower, ran out the door, and it turned over. And I was very surprised. And I drove to a friend's house and I called her at 7 in the morning and I said, hey, I need a ride to work, desperately. So we get into her car. She's like, what happened to your car? And I was like, meh, I don't know. I think it was a mailbox, but I'm not 100% sure. So she takes me to work, and on the way to work, my mom calls me, which I thought was weird because there's no way she saw my car. She was asleep when I got home, and she was probably asleep when I left. So she calls me and she says, hey, what's going on? And I was like, just on my way to work, like every other day. And she goes, well, the cops are here. And they say you hit and ran from a mailbox. And I was like, well, probably that happened, yeah. She goes, well, that's a hit and run, and that's a felony. And I was like, well, that's not good. So the rest of the day, I'm hoping that the cops don't show up at my job. At the time, I was a delivery driver with Amazon, so I really didn't want to lose my job. And thankfully, my mom, my uncle, actually, he saved me in this moment, because he was on his way home. He's a musician in a local band. He was on his way home from a gig. He lives right down the street from my mom. And he had seen the scene of the crime, basically, mm-hmm. and saw the, there was fluid leaking from my car. He saw the fluid, and he saw it turn down my mom's street. And he, by the grace of God, he said, I'm going to see, I'm sure this is not going to his house or my mom's house. And sure enough, it was. And he saw my car, and he drove to that house and left a note on the door that said, hey, I hit your mailbox. It's the middle of the night. If you could give me a call at this number. And he wrote my mom's phone number down. So technically, it didn't count as a felony hit and run, but I did have to replace the mailbox, which was $10,000. And that was the first time I really screwed my mom over like that, because she ended up paying that fine for me. She just said, you know, I want you to do 30 and 30 with AA, and I said, okay. I'll try your little 30 and 30. And I that was when I first came into the rooms. This was about March 2018. And I came and I listened and I related with a lot of what everyone was saying in here. And but in the back of my head, I was like, this is not for me. Everyone's got like 7 DUIs. This guy hit and killed a person. I haven't done anything like that. I just fell asleep. You know, I just need to stay awake more. I just need to get better sleep. That's my problem. So I left, and then I was drinking for about 3 months before and doing other outside issues for the first time in my drinking career. And then it got really bad to the point where I did not want to be here anymore. And one night after drinking and other stuff all night long, I found myself looking at three things, or four containers of different pills. And I remember they all said may cause drowsiness. And I was like, I wonder what will happen if I take all of these pills. And that's what I did. And I just took each container like it was a shot. And then I chased that with Crown. And then I chased that with Red Bull. And I took all of them. And then I went to sleep. And I was like, pretty tired now. So this will be it. And I laid down to go to sleep. And I remember waking up hearing a knock at my door. And all I remember is waking up, opening the door, and it was my mom and my stepdad. And then I shut the door and I opened it, and it was my best friend who was there. And then I shut the door and I opened it again, and there was the paramedics and the cops. And you know, I didn't really know what was going on. I kind of didn't expect to be here anymore, so I wasn't expecting all these people in my house. And I remember they took me into the ambulance and they said, were you trying to, you know, end yourself? And I said, yes, I was. And then they looked at me and they said, so I'm gonna ask you again, were you trying to end yourself? Now understand, if you say yes, we have to put you in a 72-hour hold. And which I thought was kind of weird, because that gave me the opportunity to say no. I wasn't. And then they released me later that day, which I feel like, given my state of mind, probably not the best idea. And I remember leaving there saying, I'm going to do AA. I'm going to get back involved. You know, my issue wasn't me not relating, you know. So I knew I related with everyone and all the stories. So I came back and I told people, you know, it was my sponsor, it was his fault that I relapsed because he didn't call me enough. And when we read the book, he spent like 3 hours going over 4 pages, which was way too much for me. And so that's what I told everyone. And I lasted maybe 2 weeks before I went back out. And I was like, you know what, this time I'm just going to drink beer. Liquor was my problem, just like in the book. It was liquor. And then that lasted for about a year or so. And I said, actually, I think I'm fine with liquor. I think it was the other stuff that was my real problem. So I'm just not going to do the other stuff. And then I dabbled in some of the other stuff, but not the really bad stuff. And then that lasted for a while. And I was back to it, you know, back to not really caring, not showing up for my job, not being there as a partner, not being there as a son, not doing my job, coming in late, not showing up, not really caring. And then I met this girl, and she got pregnant. And I was like, well, you know, my dad was always sober my entire life, so I've got about 9 months till I gotta kick it in. And I'll just stop drinking. I'll be fine. And so that lasted for a good 8 months. Granted, the girl and I, we broke up. And it was actually the first time I had seen her. She had invited me to her baby shower about a month before she gave birth. And this was the first time I had seen her since she had left me in February of that year, of 22. And I was just kind of blown away by everything. And I remember my mom had drove us down there, because she lives in Elizabeth City. And my mom drove us down there, so I was like, well, I'm glad you're driving. Can we stop at the gas station? And I remember we stopped, and I walked right into that gas station. And again, didn't care that my mom was sober, didn't care what she had going on. I walked right in there, and I bought two. They're like margaritas in a can, but they're 12%, and they're like $3. So I bought two of those, and I shotgunned one in the parking lot as I walked to my mom's car. And then cracked the other one for the drive home. And I remember we got back to my house, and my mom said, what she got going on today? I was like, I don't know, probably just gonna go to a concert. Which I went to, and had about three more of those margaritas before the concert. Drank two beers at the concert, left early, went to a bar, went to another bar, and then that's when I accidentally parked a little too close to this car. And as I was leaving, I scraped up against the side of it. And everyone was yelling, because it's 2 a.m, everyone's outside. Everyone's yelling at me that I just hit this car. And I was like, man, whatever, I'm in a big truck. So I just revved the engine and kept on going. Because again, I was selfish and I don't care about someone else's car. My car will be fine, hopefully. And about 2 minutes later, I noticed this car behind me. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I turned down another street and they turned. And then I turned down into a neighborhood. They followed me. I go down a cul-de-sac. They're still right behind me. So then I speed on out of there, get on out of the neighborhood, and I'm like, and then they're gone. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So thank God, made it out of this one. And then I turned right onto the main road to go straight to my house, and the lights came on. And I was like, well, I'm fucked. Excuse my language, sorry. I'm screwed. And so I sit there, and I wait for them to come to the window, and they say, sir, did you hit a car? And I was like, I might have. Yeah, that was me, probably. And they said, yeah, we know. have you been drinking tonight? And I said, just about 3 beers, sir. That's it. And they were like, okay, do you mind stepping out? And So I stepped out of the car and they did the sobriety test and I hit it perfectly. I did everything they asked me to do. I didn't stumble. I didn't do anything wrong. And they said, you're gonna have to come with us. You completely butchered that. I was like, oh, I thought I did pretty good. Can we get the footage, run it back? They arrested me that night. My blood alcohol content was, I don't remember the legal limit, but it was 0.1 over while I was on the scene. And then it was 0.1 under while we were at the station. And luckily, and when I say 0.1 under, I mean of the, where they legally have to keep me in jail for a certain amount of time. I think it's like 10 days. So I was 0.1 under that. So I didn't legally have to stay in jail for so long. So they take me down, they arrest me, they put me in the jail. And I just remember sitting there and I was cold. And I was like, well, it finally happened. You know, I finally got my DUI that I left AA because I said I never had one. And I remember leaving. I had called a friend. I'd called multiple friends. The only person I didn't call was the one person I knew would be able to get me out, which was my mom. But I didn't want to live that one down. I didn't want her to know. I thought I could just get through this without her knowing. And luckily, my mom's crazy. Not crazy, but she was very concerned about me at the time. So she was always checking my location. So she knew. She knew before I got out of there. As soon as I got home from getting out of jail the next morning, she was at my house, and she was not happy. But she stopped while she was yelling at me, and she said, you know, this might be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And I didn't understand what she meant at the time, but now I do. Because without that DUI, I wouldn't have stayed sober. I wouldn't have gotten sober. And that very next day, I came to a meeting with a friend, and at the time, I fully immersed myself. I was going to, you know, 5-6 meetings a week. I made friends. I didn't let go of all my old friends, but most of my old friends I didn't reach out to anymore. I didn't have a need to. I made friends in this program, and I met someone, and I remember meeting him saying, he's gonna be my sponsor. Because it was after a meeting and I had introduced myself as being in my first 30 days. He was the first person who walked up to me and said, and introduced himself and asked if I had a big book and gave me his number. And I knew right then that was gonna be my sponsor. And he took me about a month to ask him because, you know, it's a little awkward. and I asked him one day, randomly, on July 24th. And it's funny, I remember that day because that's also the day later on that my first son was born. And he's been my sponsor ever since. And, you know, I've been through some hard times. He took me through the 12 steps. And I've been through some hard times, and he's been there for me. You know, I've learned a lot through this program. And I've gained a lot, you know. Before, all I could focus on was myself and my next drink or my next whatever. And, you know, now I'm able to stop and think and ask, how can I be helpful in this situation? And that's not to say that, you know, me and my mom or me and my wife don't butt heads. We still do. I still get mad in traffic at road rage. I don't have super bad road rage where I'm like driving people off the road anymore. But, you know, so I'm not like perfect, but it's a pretty good life for me. And I'm able to be there for my family. Just had Christmas where I was able to have all my kids there. And it's kind of a crazy situation because when my son was first born, I was only allowed to see him for a couple of hours once a week. And now I have a little bit more than 50% physical custody with him. And I'm able to be there for him. And I have another son that I just welcomed into the world in April, and a beautiful wife at home. And it's completely changed my perception of life. You know, before I was focused on what was going on at the bar. And now, you know, anytime I'm out, I'd rather be home. I don't go out that much, but I do work in a bar, which is a little rough when I first got sober. But, you know, I had a purpose there, and that's how I have seen it, and that's what's helped me through it. I feel like there was a lot more that I wanted to say. But yeah, by the grace of God, I'm still sober today. And like I said, I never saw my father drink, and that's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for my family. And that's why I'm here today. And that's why I have a seat in these rooms. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.